Blog Talk Radio.
But committed no crime and bad mistakes. I've made a few. I've had my share.
And welcome back to Life Lessons Radio. I'm your host, Rick Tokini, and welcome to the month of July. The year is halfway over, and we appreciate all of you joining us this morning. And our special guest is Larry James, and Larry is a great author, and we're looking forward to talking to him. And just a couple of show reminders that we will have reviews of some of the summer movies coming out here this week, so please join us for those shows. And then we've got several great Transform Traveler shows that we know that you're going to be enjoying as well. But Larry, welcome to Life Lessons Show. We're anxious to get to talk to you about your book.
It's great to be with you, Rick. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yes, sir. Tell our listening audience about yourself and where you're from originally, and how did you get into the role as an author?
Right. Well, I appreciate that. I grew up in the Dallas, Texas area, and actually was in parish ministry as a pastor for almost 25 years. And then in 1994, moved to an inner city ministry here in Dallas. And so for now about 19 years, I've been at an organization called City Square. And we do a lot of different things related to working with our friends and neighbors who deal with poverty. Nutrition assistance, housing, legal services, medical services, workforce training, a number of other initiatives as well. So we're busy with friends who don't have much income, but who have a lot of heart and a lot of wealth and in other respects. And that brings me to the book, The Wealth of the Poor. A couple of years ago, I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma with a friend working on some issues with his organization. And we were having a cup of coffee, and I said, you know, Greg, I've got all these stories in my gut. I need to get them out because, you know, I probably could deal more effectively with my present and my future if I could just document some of the things that's happened to me. And he said, well, you should just take a month off and just make that be your job for a month. Just write everything that you possibly can to get these stories out. And so I did that. And every day for 30 days, my job was to write this book, and ended up with almost 500 pages of text, and it's been edited down now to a reasonable number of pages in one volume. And it's really just the story of, the last 19 years, plus my theological understanding of the place of the poor in the heart and mind of God.
It is amazing that you were able to pour out your heart and soul and memory and 30 days, and maybe if you write cathartically like that, people can do that, and especially if you have a good memory. And is the book about taking care of the least of these, as it says in the Bible?
The book is about City Square, but mainly the book is about the amazing wealth that we've discovered in the very poor. We tend to look at people as rich or poor, and what we've discovered here is everyone's rich and everyone's poor, just in different ways and by different categorical measurements. At the very beginning, in 1994, we were trying to run this place with a group of about 15 or 20 burned-out, suburban, all-white volunteers, and here we are in the middle of an African-American Hispanic community, and we were not making much progress at all. And one day I was interviewing three Latina moms at the same time. They were perfect strangers to each other. They were pooling their limited English to overcome my stupidity because I couldn't speak Spanish. And because I couldn't communicate with them, I didn't know what they needed. And so I turned to a woman who was leaving our food distribution center with her groceries that she had received, and I asked her if she could help me. And, of course, she put her groceries down, and she conducted the interview in Spanish. Really, she didn't translate anything. She knew the ropes. She'd been there before. And so we were able to pay some rent and pay some utilities and provide groceries. And these three women who had come to the building, strangers, left friends, thanks to my stupidity in terms of Spanish. And Josefina Ortiz, who was the lady who had helped me translate the interview, I was thanking her profusely for her help. And when she reached the door to leave, she turned back to me and she said, "You know, Larry, I could come back tomorrow and help you if you need me to." And I said, "Well, you can see that I certainly do need you to help me, so please do come back." Well, she came back tomorrow for 9 years every day. And the course of evaluating Josephina's contribution, which was incredible, we changed our entire culture, and we started inviting our neighbors who were coming to us with their needs to talk about the discovery of their assets. And we would share our assets, they would share their assets, and we'd build a community together. We also invited every single person who came to us for assistance to come back and help us as volunteers. And so we went in 60 days from having 15 to 20 burned out white volunteers from outside the community to having about 300 volunteers from right in the heart of the community. And that group of people 19 years ago became a 24/7 think tank for us. And so we listened to them because people closest to a problem know most about it. And that's certainly true of the poor in America today. If you want to know about poverty, go talk to a poor person. And so we did. And we built our ministry and our organization on the request and the knowledge and the wealth of intelligence of the poor. And so we have public interest law. We have medical services. We have housing. We have after-school programs. We have workforce training programs. We've got, you know, all these things that we're doing is because we've chosen to listen to people who don't have much in the way of material possessions, but they have great experience, great social capital, and they're very creative. And so we've grown from an organization of, you know, three people with a budget of under $200,000 when I got here to a $15 million corporation with about 150 employees, 300 AmeriCorps members, and it just kind of goes on and on. But it's all because of people like Josephina who helped us in the beginning.
The Josephinas of the world are the ones that are, that turn the big ships in the in the harbor, aren't they?
That's right. That's exactly right. And so that's the book, The Wealth of the Poor. And so we try to reframe that whole understanding of the quality of life that people actually have in spite of their material poverty.
You bet. And it's interesting, your approach there, and it really is kind of commonsensical to start listening to the amazing smarts and,
yep,
and, as you call them, assets of the people that are in the midst of the poverty. And they're the ones that have the best solutions, aren't they?
They are. They actually know, you know, like you and like me, you know, we probably kind of know what we think, what we need. We kind of know what we need. And sometimes we're not exactly correct in every decision we make, as is true with people who don't have any money, but we kind of know what we need. And by listening to them and their perspective on how they frame that need, the creativity with which they work through that need, I could tell you a million stories. And really the book is those stories about how people cope on limited material assets.
You bet. Hey, Larry, how does our listening audience, especially church leaders, civic leaders, get their hands on The Wealth of the Poor book?
Well, it's available pretty near everywhere. You can certainly get it at Amazon.com. It's there both in paper and in Kindle versions. At Barnes & Noble, Lifeway, my understanding is it's in Sam's as well. They can order it from me directly if they wanted to. I'm at ljames@citysquare.org, and I can get them information. But the book is available through all the normal channels.
Excellent. I'm going to ask you a somewhat controversial question, and I'm sure I'll get into trouble about this, but there are many insular churches across the United States, and what I mean by that is they're not community thinkers. And sometimes they're trying to solve what's going on just within their congregation and not outside of those four walls, which is where, you know, Jesus would call us to go preach and help people.
Yep.
How can your book kickstart their efforts to think outside of themselves?
Well, my book actually has a couple of chapters that deal with churches and how churches can really be useful and how in some cases, in many cases, they're not useful. And so I think the book could be a very good study guide for church leaders, for pastoral leaders, for elder boards, deacon boards, however your church is organized. You know, Jesus said an evidence of the kingdom of the presence of the kingdom of God would be that the good news would be preached to the poor. You can't do that inside the church walls. And I also would argue that if a person's homeless and sick and broken, good news to that person may be a meal, a house, and some compassion. And what we found in the inner city of Dallas is virtually everyone claims a relationship with Jesus Christ, but they do it from incredibly meager and threatening circumstances. And so when I go to bring good news to a poor person or to a homeless person, it's going to be a very practical kind of good news that I bring. And then once we've delivered that and received the blessing that comes back to us always from the very poor, the reciprocity is the magic, then we can talk about our common faith in Christ. And again, I've learned more about that from the poor than I've imparted, I can assure you.
I would imagine. We're talking to author Larry James, The Wealth of the Poor. You can buy that book most bookstores, I'm sure, on Amazon.com. Wonderful book. Hey, Larry, give us one of the stories from the book that perhaps is your favorite about an individual that who came from the midst of the poor and has helped become a leader within your organization.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you Lloyd's story. Lloyd came years ago to our food distribution center, and as is the case with everyone, he was invited to stay and volunteer if he had time. As it turns out, he had just gotten out of jail, and he told me later, he said, I came there that day to check the place out so I could rob you blind and fund my cocaine habit. And he said, I realized that I could take food out the back door of the food distribution center and sell it on the streets and do just fine. But he said, after that first day of volunteering, I'd worked in the warehouse all day, and he said, I stocked the shelves and I helped the people, and I just worked hard all day. And at the end of that day, I was still determined to steal you blind. But he said, I felt different. I felt like I hadn't felt in a long, long time. And he said, at the end of the day, the director of the warehouse came to me and said, Lloyd, thanks for your help. Could you come back tomorrow? And he said, Larry, that stopped me dead in my tracks because it had been so long since anyone had invited me to come back anywhere. As a matter of fact, people who knew me would run when they saw me coming, but she invited me to come back. And so Lloyd came back, and he stayed, and he worked on his issues. And kind of the end of the story is Lloyd was reunited with his family after a stint in prison. He started driving a truck again, making a good living. He became involved in the church that's associated with the work that we do here, actually became a leader in the church, and then moved outside of Dallas and left the area. But Lloyd, you know, literally went from the cell block to the boardroom of his church, and just a phenomenal, phenomenal story, just a great, great guy. And it all started because we invited him to make a contribution to other people. And in that, he found himself again. And that happens all the time around here.
And it says a lot about the City Square organization and the ministry of changing hearts that you guys have that probably that may far surpass our prison systems in terms of rehabilitating people.
Our prison, don't even get me started. That may be another book, but our prisons are failing everyone terribly except those who profit from them. It's just ridiculous.
We'll have you back on for another show on that, but the point on this is that your organization and others can pick up the same baton from the Wealth of the Poor and help to rebuild self-esteem and get people back on their feet again. That's what I think the big national movement is behind the Wealth of the Poor. And Larry, I just think that you've written a great book. I think it's a seminal book. I hope it gets in the hands of the right people in Washington, D.C., so perhaps they can take it and run with it forward as well.
Well, I appreciate that a great deal, Rick. I appreciate getting to talk about the book on your show. And, again, people can go to Amazon and buy the book right now.
Well, excellent. That was Larry James. He is the author of The Wealth of the Poor. You can reach him, if I can give this out again, Larry, LJames at citysquare.com to find out more information.
It's actually .org.
.org, okay.
Yeah, citysquare.org.
And Larry, we appreciate you being, and we'll have you back on again. And boy, you said some very important, meaningful things today, and we really appreciate you.
My pleasure. I'll be glad to come back anytime.
Thanks, sir. That was Larry James, of the author of The Wealth of the Poor, and we do appreciate some great lessons that he has bestowed upon us through his book. And importantly, what the organization City Square is doing. So you can go to ljames@citysquare.org to find out more information. I'm Rick Tocchini. Thanks for joining us on this session of Life Lessons. And as you go forward this July 4th week, be considerate to your fellow Americans. Celebrate the freedoms that God has given us here in this great country. And all of you have a wonderful 4th of July week. God bless you.